The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome in to another edition of Rover Sports. We sit atop a perch in Bala Cynwyd, 62 degrees and clear. The weather has been awesome. Beautiful fall weather. And we look ahead to one of the very few home games we could experience, Jacksonville Jags. 4:05 kickoff. But now, something I did not expect. That is, the Philadelphia Eagles went into the jungle and took down those Bengals. A surprise. 37-17. They won going away. What did you see, Spence?
I saw a great performance by the Eagles offense in the second half. I saw a team that dominated in the second half. Saw Jalen Hurts. He was able to throw down the field. You were able to create explosive passes. The offensive line played its best game of the year. They really pass protected. This team had a plan. They only threw the ball 20 times. The defense was opportunistic. The Bengals had 24 yards rushing. So when you make a team play left-handed like that, that's the way to win football games, is to pretty much take away the running game. And thoroughly impressive against a Bengals team who needed this win, against one of the best quarterbacks in the league, against one of the best receivers in football. The Eagles go to Ohio. They win going away. All their stars produced. And now the Eagles, you look at them, they're 5-2. They are right there in the thick of it in the division race and actually could be one of the better teams in this conference.
Dr. Lewis, I didn't see this one coming. Your thoughts on the Bengals game?
I didn't see it coming either. I mean, the Eagles were 2.5-point underdogs, which what I saw out of this game was the Bengals aren't very good. They do have a very good quarterback. They do have a very good wide receiver. But the Bengals defense, 21st, 22nd in the league in all statistics, running and run stoppage and passing stoppage. So the Eagles took advantage of it. What I learned out of this is the Eagles wide receivers are very, very good. You saw that in A.J. Brown last week. He is not a 50-50 receiver. He's a 100-0 receiver. If you throw the ball anywhere in his vicinity, he's going to bring that ball in. And then you saw the same thing with Devontae last Sunday. He just is an elite, elite receiver. And the two of them are deadly. If they stay healthy, I mean, I could throw the ball up and look good.
Coach Josh Tasey, let's focus on defense for a moment. A lot of guys really shined in that game. Cooper DeJean, as Dr. Lewis has been saying all along, even Fangio said he didn't know what he had in him. He was all over the field, tackling, amazing. Quinyon Mitchell,
yeah.
And even everybody was getting into it. And it seems like they're finally figuring out the Vic Fangio defense against a great Joe Burrow, admittedly. That first 10 minutes reminded me it was deja vu of Tampa Bay. I thought it was just going to be a long game where they just bled out the clock. But the defense snapped back and played great and was able to put some pressure on Burrow. Obviously, Chase Brown is not a very good running back, as spoken by the 22 yards. What did you see that defense?
Well, I mean, the defense has been playing with solid the last 2 weeks. Like, let's not forget, they played the Giants. They had 7 sacks. Daniel Jones was hurried the entire time.
The Giants.
I understand, Doc, but you know what? They set a precedent, and they stayed with it. You know, the Eagles are – Quinyon, they have two very good rookies right now. They hit on their first two-round picks. You know, Quinyon Mitchell, and obviously I think it's just a matter of time before he gets an interception. And Cooper DeJean is playing awesome. He's playing – he's had stats. They said he's one of the best white cornerbacks in over put up stats of the best white cornerback in over 34 years.
Well,
that's a rarity.
That's
Jason
for sure.
Seahorn?
Yeah, since then.
That's right. So, Charlie, question for you, our national expert. And it actually comes to us from Lisa from Reading. She's now on a hacked Facebook page. She's trying to buy a Ford F-150 from me that I actually never rode. So that's an inside joke.
But I wanted the Camry, actually.
You want it? You know what's funny? People are asking me for the weed whacker, and I always say, if you see a Jew with a weed whacker in his hands, he's trying to hurt somebody. Obviously, I'm not that guy. And the question from Lisa is this Eagles team for real?
Here's my thought. Number one, regarding the game, I think the story of the day was Fred Johnson getting revenge on his old team. What an incredible performance against Trey Hendrickson. But here's the truth. I think you can say the Eagles are good and be right. I think you can say the Eagles are bad or not very good and be right. I think that you could basically make any argument right now against the Eagles and find evidence to be right. So I think that it's yet to be determined. Again, the next 4 or 5 weeks, look, the Commanders they play soon, I believe.
But, Charlie, you're basing that on the Cleveland Browns, you're basing it on the New York Giants, and you're basing it on a Cincinnati Bengals team. I mean, so I think you are saying it perfectly, actually, that you could say they're good, they're bad. But, I mean, everyone's just going nuts over the Browns, the Giants, and now the Bengals. Charlie, come on.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's why I say I think you could – look, there's the – glass half full, where you say, wow, they're NFL teams. Look what the Browns just did. They beat Baltimore. So, I mean, is Baltimore stink now because Cleveland beat them? So, or is Cleveland better with Winston at quarterback? Does he make that much of a difference?
Yes.
So, at the end of it, look, I think that's why I think the best thing to say is what I said a week ago. It's still to be determined.
I really think that when you look at this NFC, Detroit looks like a pretty legit football team, but again, they play Tennessee and they played the Cowboys pretty well. But I think that the NFC is pretty open, especially with San Francisco. They lose Ayuk. Deebo Samuel's always hurt. I mean, what NFC teams are really bankable teams? Maybe is it the Packers? Is it the Lions? I mean, Josh, I want to hear what competition there is in the NFC.
I'm throwing to Josh. Yeah. Give me your top four. If you're seeding the top four in the NFC, it's not easy, but let's hear your top four and why.
So I guess my top four, Spencer, you know, it's ironic. The top four that I would look at, I think the Commanders are really a very good football team. I really do. I love what Jaden Daniels is doing. They got a good running back, a good running game with Brian Robinson. You know, Terry McLaurin's playing really well. Their defense is solid. You know, you're asking me for my top four, Doc. You know, again, Spencer, yeah, I would still continue to keep the 49ers up there. I think Brock Purdy, what they have on offense, okay. You know, the running back situation's up in the air. Christian McCaffrey hasn't played all year, but Nick Bosa is a megastar. The choice for real. You got Jared Goff, I mean, David Montgomery, Jamar Gibbs, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta. They're running back. Amon St. Brown, they are playing as solid of football. You want to talk about culture. Dan Campbell, who I thought this guy was a cartoon character, has really bought into this. And guys are buying
it. And they're going through a wall for him.
They really are.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Like, I knew that last year was Detroit's year. They were kind of on the upslope. Everybody was predicting Campbell's coach of the year. I didn't know they were going to sustain it for a 2-year interval. But what I see with Hutchinson hurt, and again, interestingly, I told Spencer it was an ugly injury. It was a tib-fib fracture. That's always an ugly fracture. What they do is they put plates and screws in there. He could technically be back for the playoffs. People don't know. So it looks horrible.
T.O. came back. It was similar.
Yeah, so it is something where you get the bones, you do an internal fixation, which they did already.
Yeah.
But that team, certainly, certain teams will continue in plateau. Steve, who are your top four teams?
Certainly Detroit, and I think Minnesota. I think Washington's got to be in the conversation.
Jones.
And of course, San Francisco. They're my top four teams.
You really think Washington, when Washington plays the Eagles, the Eagles are going to be favored in that game. And Washington really should have lost that game against the Bears. I mean, they fail in the red zone. You're relying on a rookie quarterback. The defense doesn't have the name brand, Steve. I think the Redskins' defense is very, very vulnerable. I do. I think they're playing over their skis. I don't think they have the personnel to sustain. I really don't.
However, in that game, Washington had the lead the whole game. The Bears they were like the horse that just nosed out, and they should have won the game.
Right.
So Washington was in control of that game. And again, I have to admit it. I've always hated the Redskins. This is one of the more likable Washington teams I've seen.
You cannot like them. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to
let you.
Well, I'm saying I like certain players. I love the quarterback there.
Yeah.
I like the coach. Again, I'm very biased. If I meet a coach like we met Dan Quinn, you know, when people, he's a wonderful guy. Yes. But no, I'm obviously an Eagles fan. When I see Josh Harris on the sidelines, it makes me see red, which leads me into the next point, the Philadelphia 76ers. I want to vent. I'm angry. I just paid an X amount of dollars to go to an opening national TV game against the Milwaukee Bucks. I paid to see Joel Embiid play against the Greek Freak. I hoped to see Paul George. Paul George had a legitimate excuse. He had a knee hyperextension, which is a finite injury, which is presumably going to get better. But the idea that Joel Embiid, literally in timeouts, was looking like Meadowlark Lemon, for all of you people who remember. He was dribbling the ball between his legs, and a guy, a sucker like me, paying $200 a seat with metric pricing for that game, it's a travesty. And for Nick Nurse to have to go out there and dance like Carl Willenda between buildings on a tightrope to substantiate this bull that's coming down from Josh Harris and Daryl Morey makes me see red. Josh.
I think the NBA is a joke the way they're doing this. I'm glad they got fined $100,000. If you have a legitimate injury, you shouldn't play. It's understandable. What the Sixers and this whole like load management nonsense is created, it's a joke, Doc. Let's be honest. Joel Embiid never finishes the season, all right? And he's sure now he's not even starting the season because the MVP and all the other nonsense is embarrassing. Doc, I mean, I think the NBA is just a bad product. I can't wait till college basketball
starts.
What
are your thoughts, Steve?
My thoughts are that it's the worst product, and the commissioner, Adam Silver, can't control it. Nothing he can do. They made a lot of mistakes here. So, obviously, Nick Nurse and Kawhi Leonard did it in 2017, was it, that they went on the championship? And they did load management, but they didn't brag about it. They didn't advertise it. They just did it. Joel Embiid came out before the season started and said, I'm playing 50 games and I'm not playing back-to-backs anymore. That's why they got fined, and that's just not acceptable. If he's not in shape, which I understand he's not in shape, that's a problem. I understand word has it that he was in Miami a couple of weeks ago jet skiing. I mean, you know what the kind of stress that puts on somebody on their knees to be jet skiing, but he's able to do that. It's a problem because people are paying a lot of money to go to these games, parking, food, the tickets are outrageous, and as you said, they're tiered for the big games. And to not know that if you're injured, but to not know that the guy you're coming to see isn't playing, it's unfair, and they can't control it. They try to bring this MVP. You have to pay a certain amount of games. They just can't control it. What they're saying is the regular season means nothing.
That's right.
And they should just start the playoffs.
Well, Steve, unfortunately, with the NBA, with the play-in games, unfortunately, it is minimalizing the season and the 82 games. And I wish guys would compete like watching Michael Jordan and watching the guys in the 90s. You would never see them miss these games. And they actually cared about the product. They cared about the league. But the league has no pride. The players do not care about their craft whatsoever. And
let me ask you a quick question, though.
Yes.
Because I know where you're going to go with this. LeBron James is how old?
40.
They played 41. Four games. The Lakers played four games. You know how many LeBron James has played already?
He's probably played all the games.
He's played all the games. I could just see the coach saying to LeBron, you're not playing tonight. I mean, so you don't have to go back to Michael Jordan. I mean, we're talking a 40, 41-year-old guy who's playing the games.
LeBron has load managed plenty over the last couple of games,
really?
Even when he has been eliminated.
He really
he's sat in out games. Here's the thing. I'm not going to get on Embiid for playing in the Olympics. I'm not. I like our country. I like people.
Not even a mark.
But the point is that when his grandkids asked, did you play in the Olympics, I don't think that he should base his decision based on the Philly fans. I don't. I think it's for his own life. Here's the point that I'm really upset about, Steve. If Embiid plays well in the playoffs, you're going to forget about this day. That's the point. I want you to remember how you feel today, and if he plays in the playoffs, all will be forgotten, and
not.
I think that that's wrong.
But he's not.
Okay, I'm going to come back at you. If he wins a championship, an NBA championship, a Larry O'Brien trophy, that's something he'd share with his grandchildren. If he's on a team of Americans who are so dominant that you and I could be on the team and they would still win, he also only played one real meaningful game in the Olympics. Fact of the matter is, you got to think your priorities. In my view, Spence, and I understand your position, he is being paid an enormous amount of money, and I don't resent any athletes for making a lot of money. Fact is, these season ticket holders have gone through swallow a lot of crap. They've gone through tanking. They've gone through every year. They haven't even made it to the NBA Finals, all right? And all the other teams are just ping-ponging over them. The fact that this is your guy, this is the star, and he doesn't even – you don't even have a reason. He's not even injured. And the fact, even more egregious, is that Nick Nurse is saying that Paul George and him, who are, you know, basically the two centerpieces, they're going to do basically not do back-to-backs. It means I, as a season ticket holder, I've got to look at what game is it? Is it going to be a home game as a back-to-back? I know I'm not going to see those guys. I want to try to sell my tickets. But you know what? The other people buying the tickets aren't stupid either. So with this metric pricing, they're just fleecing us. This is the same team that sold us Andrew Bynum. Andrew Bynum.
While you're getting...
Obviously, somebody isn't tuned into Rover Sports.
Are the Sixers calling you?
No, it's a spam risk.
Is it Josh Harris?
Why you're saying that, Bruce, and you're 100% right, I'm going to come at you too. The reality of the situation is, Spencer,
I'm voting for Ross Perot. Oh, no, continue.
No, the reality is,
political call.
They're not going to win a championship. And I'm not going to forget about this because Joel Embiid's not. You know why Joel Embiid's not? He's not a killer. He's a really, really a great player. He's an elite player. He's not a killer. He's not dedicated to this. A couple years ago, when he was playing with an orbital fracture and a finger fracture in the playoffs, and he was playing at an elite level, and then the MVP awards came out, and it went to Jokic, and he shut down. He was done. He's selfish. He's all about himself. He wants an Olympic medal. He wants MVPs. He wants all-star games. He does not want to win a championship. Spencer, get it through your head. It'd be a nice thing to have. What he doesn't understand is that your legacy is defined by rings, period. Harden
and
is...
And that's his point.
He doesn't
that's why he's saving for the playoffs.
Absolutely not. He's not saving anything for the playoffs.
Listen, here's the deal.
When he won MVP...
He's Meadowlark Lemon.
You didn't give Embiid credit when he won, when he played all the games in the regular season. You called him a stat pattern in the regular season.
He is... I didn't call him that, but he is.
But that's what you want
he's
to
a
see.
Selfish player.
I want to see him win MVP again because that means that he plays in the regular season.
I want to see somebody that wants to win a championship, that wants to do anything to do that, to make his teammates better. That's what I want to see.
Charlie, jump into this scrum. This reminds me of a tush push.
I already
this
know
is
what
a scrum.
I already know what Charlie's
going to
say.
Charlie's going in this.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Let's go, Charlie.
Embiid, I agree with Dr. Lewis. Embiid is not a winner. He's not dedicated. Embiid, like most of these guys, they're about their brand. They're about making money. The game has changed. And it's not like it was, 25 years ago when we remember it. You know, it was physical. You know, there were teams that really hated each other. Now these guys are all friends off the court. They don't dislike each other at all anymore. It's all about how much money. We're talking about a league that does business with China and doesn't care. We're talking about a league that LeBron James' kid is in the league just because it's his kid.
It's true.
He doesn't deserve to be in the league.
Nope.
But again, it's a clown show until the playoffs. Then you get some good basketball.
And how does the labor union allow that? They're taking a roster spot away from a legitimate NBA player because of nepotism. And it's all awful. But, Charlie, you're so right. I mean, look how Dr. J and Larry Bird hated each other to the point they went at it in the middle of the game. It's not like that anymore. They're friends.
But they go to
strip bars.
You know what, Steve? You're right, and we're not like totally arguing mano a mano. I agree that Embiid's not going to win a title, but it stems from these leagues and the political correctness of these leagues. You know, Steve, that you can get. I watched a college football game, and a guy held up a peace sign and was labeled for taunting. The whole taunting thing in sports. That's why these guys don't hate each other, because they get flagged. The sports are so soft, and it's not just the NBA. You gotta hate each other. You should be able to taunt. You should be able to wag, and you should be able to absolutely humiliate your opponent. And I agree with you 1,000%.
I want hatred back. I got a question for you. A pointed question. The fact that Nick Nurse said he's going to basically avoid back-to-back games with Paul George and Joel Embiid. The NBA is pushing back on it. How's this going to work out?
You know, Doc, that's a great question that I think the NBA actually has to find. Any player that's actually healthy and that can play
it's impossible.
Consecutive, find them the entire time. Because it's almost what they're doing is this, how did Spike Eskin put it? it's an agreeable loss. It's almost like a penciled in loss. Okay, they should immediately fine them because it has to come down. They have to start fining these guys for sitting out of the games.
But also, I think not only the guys, but also the
scheduled
the
loss,
people
that's
who are the facilitators.
Yeah.
The coaches,
sure.
The general managers, and the franchise itself. They're taking good money, and if they're telling you they're not playing a guy in back-to-back, listen, even if you see a guy play 15 minutes, at least you're going to see him play some. But if you don't see him at all, you're being cheated. And I don't care if you're an away fan. I remember when LeBron never played. When the Lakers came here, LeBron never played here. The brow. Yeah. And it was terrible. I would pay for a Lakers game, metric pricing, and we'd never see LeBron. And last year, finally, they're starting to grow a set. And LeBron finally came. And we finally saw him, and we saw that once. Yeah. So I think they have to put their foot down. You should be able to, if you want to limit them to 10, 15 minutes, at least you should be able to see them play somewhat.
Yep. In uniform.
Especially, like, I'm older. You bring your kid to see a game. He wants to see Embiid. There's no reason Embiid couldn't have just played a few minutes. He doesn't have to dive on the ground like an idiot. Well, Spence?
Well, yes, and I think that you need to create incentives. Here's the thing, Josh, is that Nick Nurse, the problem is with your premise is that all the other teams do this, but they make up phantom injuries, and then it's impossible to argue.
You can't argue with an injury, but
yeah,
here's
it's a
the
phantom
thing.
Injury.
First of all, you're talking about taunting and all these things. The reality is they're making so much money, they don't care. That's not what's important. From our perspective, it is a game when we're competitive, we're emotional, we invest financially, we invest emotions. But the reality is it's entertainment at the end of the day. It is entertainment.
Yeah.
So when you bring your kid, you want to be able to say, I saw Michael Jackson perform. I saw Prince perform. I want to see LeBron James perform. Yeah. I want to see these players, Michael Jordan. So that's the reality. But here's why the system doesn't even work. And you brought up somebody from another radio station. But he absolutely makes no sense. He's saying that you have to do that to win as part of the – because he was a big process guy too. He was he's a total idiot. Yeah. Who won the championship last year? The Celtics.
Celtics.
Who are their two best players? Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Yep. How many games do you think they each played? Upper 70s.
Plenty.
No load management. They played upper 70s. The only time they didn't play was a legitimate injury. What's that?
You're right, Drew Holiday.
So it didn't work. The theory doesn't work, okay? You got to play. You got to build chemistry. You got to get a team together. It's a team, especially in basketball. Well, they have to do.
Well,
there are solutions to the problem that we could discuss.
Well, the Celtics did it the right way. No process, no BS.
Here's a point. Fact is, the younger players tend to play more games. The older players tend for loads of management. This Sixers team brought Paul George in because he's a name. They brought him in more so that he's a name. He's an older player. And they could, instead of bringing in a younger player, somebody or multiple players who are young, they just don't care. And it shows you just what they've done before. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but if you're going to bring him in, let him play. Let the big dog eat.
Doc, you know, as a coach, you always want to play your best players on every game. It doesn't matter if it's a summer league game. You want your best players available to play at all times. And while you want to develop some of the younger guys, you know, I'm fine with. But understand something. If you're playing on a prime time, because let's be honest, coaches are measured by their wins and losses as well. And they don't want to schedule a loss. They're looking to have their guest guys available all the time.
And Josh, you know what I think could be a solution, but will never happen, is if you made the regular season, you have to make it more impactful, so you have to trim down the playoff teams.
I think you should get how about if we do a fake championship in the middle of the season? I'm just kidding. About that.
But you look at Major League...
Sorry,
What a dumb idea that would be. You look at Major League Baseball, Josh, you know why it's awesome? Because there's like six teams that make it, so the regular season, you don't have this problem in baseball.
The only problem with that, Spencer, is... Okay.
No. I didn't mean to cut you off. We're still at 8 seconds.
Around the horn.
Well, we are.
Get muted.
Up. There's going to be talk about a Penn State whiteout. We'll be back.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Sportsmanship matters. We are back on a perch. We are sponsored by Philadelphia PRP and Stem Cell Institute. I happen to know the principal owner, and that would be me, of course. So anybody out there who doesn't want to get cut, they don't want to spend hours in physical therapy, they don't want to be doped up with fentanyl. Instead, they just want to be better. They want to get better. You can call and you can talk to Roz or Teresa at Philadelphia Stem Cell PRP Institute. We can get you better. Shoulders, knees, backs.
And toes.
Get you better in a... And what was that?
Toes.
What's that?
Nothing.
I didn't get that joke. But in any event, you can get us. 610-521-6063. Our printer's on duty except for after hours. Well, you will get an answering service who's not that smart.
He was referring to his favorite song, Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes, is what he was referring to.
Oh, okay.
And if it is your head, shoulders, knees, and toes, he will get you better.
But that was also funny. For any of you who watched the Seth Joyner postgame show, Seth was great. He gave me a lesson on anatomy when we were talking about the knee bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the hip bone, and that because the game had so much levity, we rolled that in to start my injury segment. But it's that time to talk about college game day. Penn State Nittany Lions playing one of my least favorite teams, the Ohio State Buckeyes. What do you see, Josh?
Why does everybody hate Ohio State?
I don't know.
I do, too. You do. I didn't know you did. Why does everybody hate Ohio State?
Well, I know why.
Well, I know why.
You're a Penn State fan.
Well,
no, but forget, even why do
you hate Penn State, too?
I don't hate Penn State.
I mean, Ohio State. I misspoke.
But you're a Big Ten guy.
I'm hating Ohio State. I misspoke.
I think Ohio State is a lot more likable than Michigan. I don't think the people that go to Ohio State are that stuck up.
Coach.
Let's go.
Doc, I think when success breeds enemies. You know, that's why a lot of people don't like the Yankees. I mean, a lot of teams don't like Notre Dame, which I've never liked Notre Dame, and they haven't been that successful. I don't understand it. But I don't dislike Ohio State. I don't dislike Michigan. I think they're great ambassadors to the Big Ten. I think what Ohio State does every year is they get the best players. And, you know, Ryan Day, I think, gets more grief than he deserves. The guy's only had 9 losses. He's 62-9 in his entire career.
How many championships has he won?
Well, that's the biggest
problem.
The biggest problem. See,
he's won plenty of Big Ten championships.
You gotta win.
He's won plenty of titles.
That means nothing.
So let's dive into the game itself, Josh. let's go to the game. Drew Aller is out.
Game time decision.
Oh, game time decision. So we really don't know.
What's his injury?
That's purposeful.
Lower knee injury.
There is zero chance he's not playing in that game.
I can't argue that. Even though, last week was a huge win. Obviously, Alec was in attendance for the game. He had great seats. Yeah. He was sending me photos. It was a great win for Penn State. You know,
this is the biggest game of his career.
This is by far.
Coach, can you say why you want Bo Prabhula to start over Drew Aller?
I think Bo Prabhula has a better command of the offense. I think Bo moves the ball around.
Wow.
I think what you saw, I think Bo, you know, has good touch. He's also much more mobile than Drew, okay? And I like that. He reminds me a lot of Trace McSorley. Let me tell you something. I'm a big fan of the offensive coordinator. I love what he's been able to do with Tyler Warren, the tight end. He's been able to get Nick Singleton and – Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
Charlie, what do you see in this game? Obviously, you're not a Penn State alum. It's going to be a fun game. Obviously, Ohio State always they come to play, and it reminds me a little bit of that Georgia-Texas game where Georgia said, we're the SEC.
Yep.
We're going to Texas. They're the new upstarts. So Ohio State is saying, we are the class of the Big Ten. Penn State always seems to play well, but they always seem to falter. Of late, when I say always, I'm talking the last 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You can admit to that. What do you kind of go deep into the game, Charlie? You're analyzing it at different levels. What do you see in this game?
Well, I think they're a bit limited. I know this is like a coming home party for Will Howard. Yep. I guess he grew up a Penn State fan, and I'm sure he's very motivated.
And he's got a chip on his shoulders, Charlie.
Went to Downingtown East.
He wanted to go to Penn State.
I also think he's quite limited, too. I don't think he's. You know, he's in very average, maybe a little bit better than average college quarterback. There were better players in the portal than him, but I guess they thought he was the perfect fit. Line is really bizarre. It went from 4 down to 3.5 today. So, depending on not just necessarily the tickets, but the amount of, not just the amount of tickets, but where the amount of money. Because you can have 85% of the tickets, but you could also have 20% of the tickets and 85% of the money, and that's a clear sign where the sharps are. I think it's going to be a very tight game because Penn State can run the ball. I think they will run the ball in Ohio State. Again, I think it's a field goal game either way.
I think Penn State should win the game, Charlie, because Ohio State, I think their left tackle is out and their backup is a total sieve. I mean, did you see what Nebraska did to Ohio State? They shut down their running game. They shut down Judkins and Henderson, and they forced Will Howard to beat them. And Ohio State, I don't think Ohio State's a national championship contender this year. Without their left tackle, I don't think that they can protect. And if you make Will Howard have to carry this offense, I mean, I know Jeremiah Smith is great, Ibuka. That's the problem for Penn State. I think it'll be a defensive struggle. I worry if Penn State can generate enough offense. And also, Bruce, all the pressure, though, a lot of pressure is on Penn State. They've never beaten – when was the last time they – what are they, 1-9 against Ohio State, Josh? They,
The last time Penn State beat – Ohio State at home was 2016. I was at the game. It was a fun, Trace McSorley.
So it was 8 years ago. So there's so much pressure on Penn State.
I do have a great question because you brought up a point.
Go ahead.
I mean, Ohio State has one loss. If they lose this game, are they out of the picture for a national championship?
Not
and
likely.
Charlie, and what's that?
I don't think so. Yeah.
And then
I
Charlie,
think two lost teams will get in the right pedigree.
Okay.
I think two losses are the threshold.
It's certainly demoralizing for
that. But then Indiana can even beat Ohio State.
But Charlie, why the line? I mean, they're going into Penn State, who's playing their best football. Is it because Drew Aller's injury and it's unknown, or and why is Ohio State a 3.5-point favorite Happy Valley?
When you think about it, it's 3 points always to the home team. So really, they're saying they're really a 7-point favorite,
correct?
Which is about right. I don't think there is pressure. I disagree. There's no pressure on Penn State. They have one loss in a tight game. They're still in the playoff picture.
But why the line, Charlie? I mean,
I think Aller.
You got to
the average
Ohio
person
State.
Who's a better is not that sophisticated. Drew Aller, if he's out, a lot of people don't know about the backup quarterback like you do.
Yeah.
Josh, nobody, they can't even say his name, so to speak.
Charlie, I would disagree with you. I think this is the biggest game of James Franklin's career. He's measured by his wins and losses against Ohio State.
This is the biggest game of his career.
If he loses a close game, they're still in the playoff hunt.
It doesn't matter.
It's not like it's going to be the end of it.
They're not going to win a national championship. This is the Penn State's national championship.
Timeout. I mean, first of all, yes, it is the biggest game of Franklin's career. It's the biggest game for Penn State in a very, very long time. This is a statement game. Franklin has not been able to win the big games. And that's his biggest indictment on coaching, is he not been able to. He wins this game. This is part one of national championship.
Steve, guess what? This is one of the worst Ohio State quarterbacks
had.
It's
still Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying, is that this is the most gettable they're going to be.
It is.
Their left tackle is out. You should have seen what Nebraska did to Ohio State.
Why?
Ohio State is still more talented at every other position than Penn State. It's still a $20 million roster.
Well, I want
to
hear
And
Charlie.
They still are giving the edge to Ryan Day, and Ohio State's still more talented.
Charlie, why the line?
It was a classic look ahead, though, also with Nebraska. I mean, you knew they were going to look forward to Penn State. These are kids. So I think that, again, although I didn't expect them to be that bad, you can anticipate a letdown, like them not getting as pumped up for Nebraska, who got absolutely smoked the week before by Indiana. Was Indiana beat them? Somebody crushed them the week before.
Yeah, they did. Now, Ohio State was off of a bye. I just worry about that offensive line of Ohio State. That's what's going to be interesting. And, Coach, isn't Abdul Carter one of the best rushers at Penn State? Aren't they great on the D-line Penn State?
But they have some injuries as well.
I mean, this is a game where they're going all in. And next week's games for both the teams are cupcakes. You got Purdue and Washington.
Not the game of the week.
What's that?
The game of the week to me is watching how interesting. Number one, A&M better start Marcel Reed. That kid is special. The fact that he isn't starting is almost criminal going into last week. And will they have a letdown against South Carolina this week? To me, that is the most interesting game of the week.
But Charlie,
believe it or not. Not the biggest, but most interesting.
Charlie, give us the deal with this. Let's focus on Penn State, Ohio State. What's your pick? First of all, what is the reason for the line? Is the line telling you something? And what's your pick? I know you've been in the lab. I know you've been in the lab all scouting this game.
I don't look at these games honestly. That's why my picks change so much. Like when last week with the Rams, I don't look at anything.
But what's the early line for Charlie? What's the early? What does Charlie say early on?
I think Ohio State's going to win the game. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a field goal either way. I don't think they're going to win by – I think it's going to be a field goal game either way.
Steve, you know it would be great if Ohio State doesn't win and Penn State and Indiana have one loss. Ohio State's not playing in the Big Ten Championship. I would love them to be out of the playoff. How great would that be? Because then Ohio State wouldn't have any big wins, and then it would keep a big dog out. Guess what? The regular season should matter. If you lose this game – you shouldn't be. I mean, there's so many good two-loss SECs. The SEC's better than the Big Ten.
We are now moving from college football to the NFL. And there's a question for you.
Yes.
Actually, for me.
Yes.
I'll tell you, I know a little bit about the Jacksonville Jags. Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson. That's about it. Give us a little preview on the Jags, and then we're going to start getting into our fearless picks. But give us a special.
The Jags are done.
They're what?
They're done.
They're what?
They have one loss. I believe that they're 1-6. They just paid Trevor Lawrence, who was the number one pick, who is the can't-miss messiah out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. They're paying him like $55 million. Doug Peterson reminds me of a great relief pitcher. He's good for a couple of innings, but he can't sustain. In Philadelphia, he had the great season.
Did he lose his fastball?
He did, just like Vic Fangio. I believe Doug Peterson doesn't survive the year. I really don't. And Jacksonville, they're so pathetic.
Who else do they have on the team?
Well, I'll tell you who they have.
I don't.
They have,
who else do they have?
They have ETN. That's a decent running back. And they have Tank Bigsby, who Coach was talking about. Evan Ingram, who's athletic, not the best with catching the
football. The New York Giants, Ingram?
Yep. They have a receiver, a rookie, dead rookie from LSU, who's a good player, Brian Thomas. So they have some weapons on offense. Defensively, they don't have much. I mean, they're trotting out Ryan Nielsen as the D coordinator. Defensively, they don't have a lot. I bet the Eagles are a 9-point favorite in this spot.
7.5.
7.5.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfect lead into our fearless picks. And this time we will hopefully, like we were rushing a little bit last week, I like to be able to let it marinate, let it seep, let it breathe. Let's go. Game one.
All right, so game one, Thursday night game, Houston at the New York Jets. Houston 6-2, taking on the New York Jets, who I think are just the Jets. They're the Jets every year. You can put Aaron Rodgers.
Are they at MetLife?
At MetLife.
And what is, and I presume that Jets are getting points.
They're getting 2 points.
No, the Jets are favored.
The Jets are favored by two.
The Jets are favored.
Okay, so we're going to go around. I want to lead off here on first base.
Well, can I tell you an important factoid that you might want to know? The Texans, high profile, one of their best receivers, Stephon Diggs, is out for the season. Nico Collins, I believe, is still hurt, right?
He's playing.
Oh, Nico Collins is back?
Yep.
But Stephon Diggs is out for the season.
Okay. In weighing that back, going back and forth, you know, every dog has his day theory would favor the Jets, that they have to win at some point, especially against a team without Diggs. However, I just believe the Jets are still the Jets, and I believe Aaron Rodgers has got to a point of futility, misery, and just, I won't say giving up, but just, he's thinking a lot about golf right now. I'm taking the Texans in this game. Steve.
You never know what's going to happen with this quarterback, with Aaron Rodgers. The Texans do have the third-ranked defense in the NFL for passing, but that being said, 2 points, I'm gonna take the Jets on big game.
Josh.
Yeah, I think this is do or die. I think Joe Douglas, if he doesn't win this one, he gets fired. So I'm going to go with the Jets.
You know what? I think that the line is so telling, and I was made a fool with the Rams line last week. Remember when the Rams were big?
Nobody's made a fool. I was 1-5 last week. Continue, please.
So I'm the fool, too. I'm going to take the Jets at home. I am.
Josh.
I'm going to take the Jets, Doc.
Oh, okay. Colin, I'm trying to get the – I'm going around the horn twice. Colin, go ahead.
I think this line's a little weird, and considering it, I'll take the home team on a Thursday night, Jets.
Charlie.
God, I hate that everyone likes the Jets. Oh, I like the Jets, too. Oh,
Coach, how are the standings? He sounds like Larry David.
How are the standings? How are we doing?
So
again, it's a trap. Texans have a huge game next week.
Yeah, but it's not a trap game on Thursday
Charlie
night football.
Put him down with the Jets because Charlie, you got to win.
The fans want to know real quick. Go ahead, Josh.
Charlie's got a 3-game lead over you and I, Dr. Lewis, and then Dr. Grossinger is in fourth, and Spencer
Dead
and
last.
Collar clean it up.
Who's above 500 in this stream?
Charlie, Dr. Lewis, and I, myself.
A couple games
ago. What's the next game?
Okay. Next game.
Denver.
Oh, by the way, Freddie Freeman, dinger again.
Oh, my God.
Mr. October.
Is he is our MVP.
He's the
MVP. Is there any question?
Nope. Homer.
Have you ever seen a more clear MVP?
What's the score, Charlie?
Yeah. The World Series.
2-1. First inning.
What is it?
1-0.
Top one. 2-0. 2-0. Wow. 2-run homer.
Boy, this
sweet.
Is
in the worst. Get the brooms. Series. Go ahead, Josh.
Goodbye, New York.
How can you not walk that guy?
I love it. Okay, so Denver. I tell you what, I never thought 5-3 coming into it, but they're 5-3 and they're traveling to Baltimore. Baltimore had a tough loss against Cleveland. Baltimore's giving up 9 points.
Okay. I think this is a real Baltimore. They just got stung like a hornet's full of bees. I love Bo Nix. I love Denver. He's our favorite player, I can say mutually. But this is a game when he's going to get clocked and hopefully not knocked, blocked, and socked, and even words that rhyme with that are a little bit off color. I'm taking the Ravens in this game. Give him all the points you want.
So interesting. Denver's defense is really elite. I mean, they're third in total yards, right? They're fourth in passing yards and seventh in rushing yards. This is a tough defense Denver has. That being said, I agree with you. I think Baltimore's at home, going to win this game and give the points.
Coach,
Steve. I got to be honest with you. I'm not giving up that many points. I'll take Denver.
But Steve.
Bo Nix's son, Spencer G.
Steve, the problem is I'm the biggest Bo Nix fan, just like my dad. They've played the Broncos defense has played Spencer Rattler, Bryce Young, Gardner Minshew. Like they played.
Who's your pick?
Paper Tigers. Oh, the line is again telling me because I thought the line would be 7 points for a 5-3. Oh man, I'm gonna go with the Ravens. I wish the Broncos.
Can't believe
win
I'm gonna
this
let
game.
Bo Nix know you're doing that.
Oh my God, Colin.
I think the Ravens get back on track with an ugly win, but I don't think they're covering 9. Denver.
Takes Denver. Takes the Bo Nixes. Charlie.
38-9, Baltimore.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. Easy Baltimore card.
What's next?
Game 3?
All right, so we got the Chicago Bears lost a devastating loss in Washington last week, taking on a much better-looking Arizona Cardinal team. The Cardinals are giving up just 1 point.
Game is in Arizona?
The game is in Arizona.
Okay. I believe that this Bears team is going to be licking their wounds a little bit. They're going to be a little bit in shock. Cardinals have surprised me all year. They're at home. I like the Cardinals in this game.
I'm going to take the Bears in this game. Quite simple.
Josh.
Chicago's defense has been solid, but I got to be honest with you, Doc. I got to agree with you. I think Kyler Murray and Trey McBride are on to something right now. Marvin Harrison had a breakout game last week. I like Arizona. Yes.
Arizona's great at winning. I think they've won all their games by like last second field goals, and it's admirable. They're actually number one in the West, actually. They're beating the Niners right now, I think, and the Seahawks. It's crazy. I think they might be number one. I don't know why this line isn't 3.5 for Arizona at home. I have no idea why Chicago's getting this much respect. I think Arizona's won some really tough games on the road. I like Arizona in this spot.
Colin.
I like Arizona here, too.
Charlie.
Bears outright.
All right. This is game 5?
Game 4.
Oh, game 4. Excuse me.
So Tampa Bay, obviously, Baker Mayfield has no starting receivers, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin out. They are traveling to the lone undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. I know, Charlie, you are a Taylor Swift fan, and you love seeing
he loves Taylor.
Travis Kelce playing as well as he is right now.
He loves 34-year-old girls on their 10th boyfriend. What is the line in this game?
Kansas City -9.
Who are they playing again?
Tampa.
They're playing the Buc in the
NFL. Okay, I'm not a fan of the Chiefs. I just don't, you know, I don't like them. I just don't think, you know, the Chiefs are just going to roll. I don't think Tampa Bay has anything. You know, Baker has no place to go. The line is huge for a reason. They're just trying to tease people. I think this is a 2-touchdown game for the Chiefs. Not going to be fun to watch. I plan on not watching it.
I love Baker Mayfield. You know that. Where you feel about Bo Nix, I love Baker, but who's he throwing to? I think it's going to be a blowout, Kansas City.
But Baker still threw.
Josh.
I'm going Kansas City.
Baker threw for 330 last week. Here's the thing. Kansas City couldn't roll toilet paper. I mean, Kansas City, they haven't rolled anybody. I mean, against, I think like they've all, they've good. Only won games
they have
by
the
like 7 points.
Defense in football.
Yeah, but they haven't beaten anybody badly. Every game's a one-score game. Even Mahomes isn't playing as well as you'd think.
You got Tampa.
Are you giving Baker 9?
Absolutely. A late touchdown cover from Baker. Of course.
Colin.
The Chiefs struggle with these big spreads sometimes, so I'll go with them to win, but I'll take Tampa.
Charlie.
Tampa to cover.
I'm going to go KC. I just think that it's so the points look so appetizing that I'm going to go Kansas City.
And it's a Monday night game.
Monday night game. I guess I will be watching the game. Because if there's only one game, I'll probably
You're
be watching
stuck.
It.
You're stuck.
I'm stuck watching it. What okay, a horrible so, life. Go ahead, Josh.
Another Tampa Monday
so
night.
Detroit, who I think looks like the best team in the East right now, or in the NFC in general. Jared Goff's rolling. Amon St. Brown, you know, running backs of Jamar Gibbs and Dave Montgomery are huge right now. Sam Laporte got in the end zone. They travel to Minnesota. Minnesota's 5-2. Sam Darnold looks pretty good. Justin Jefferson's putting up points. Aaron Jones is a solid running back. The defense is playing really well for them. And Minnesota's given up 6.
6 points?
Yeah, hold on.
No, three and a half.
Didn't the Lions just play in Minnesota two weeks ago?
Detroit-Green Bay.
I'm sorry.
Detroit's minus 3.5 in Green Bay.
Wait, is it Lions-Vikings?
No, let's just go. No, listen. We have Lions, one commissioner.
Packers.
Hold on there.
Lions-Packers.
Chief, what game are we doing?
I misspoke. It's Detroit at Green Bay.
Detroit at Green Bay, and I guess Green Bay is getting 3.5?
Green Bay is getting 3.5.
Yep.
Okay. I believe that every dog has his day theory. A really good game to watch, I think. Two really good teams. I think it's time. It's going to get a little colder, but not freezing. I'm feeling the Packers in this game. I'm feeling the Packers. Detroit's a very good team, but you got to lose some. This is going to be one of those games. I'm taking the Pack. Is back.
You're taking the Pack in the frozen tundra
in
November.
A very unfrozen tundra.
It's going to be a cold day. But the Detroit Lions, who are my pick to be in the Super Bowl, are going to win this game.
Josh.
I like Detroit. I'm riding the train.
Michigan versus Wisconsin. Here's the problem. Jordan Love is chronically, absolutely hurt like every single darn week. That's why I'm taking the Lions.
There you go.
I'll take Colin. Detroit.
Interesting game, Charlie.
Charlie, go ahead.
What do you see here?
Again, I'm going to take the Pack at home. Take the
Pack is back. Now,
I can't imagine what the last game is. What's the last Eagles Jags?
It could be the Eagles-Jags.
I wouldn't call this the game of the week.
I know. I'll be a little bit facetious here. What is the spread?
7.5.
All right. I think that Jacksonville is a very bad team. Peterson is a lame duck. It's time for the Eagles finally to play a good game at home, but really the games have been very lackluster at home. You know, they haven't dominated. I think it's time they dominate. This is that time. Eagles win. This is my lock of the week. Eagles go to 6-2.
Wow, the lock of the week, Bruce. That is a big statement. When we went through the schedule at the beginning of the year, I thought this was the most dangerous game of the season because I thought it was a trap game. They were going to Cincinnati. They had this game, and then they're going to Dallas next week. I'm going to stick with what I originally said. I'm not sure they're going to lose the game, but I don't think they cover this. The Jacksonville defense rushing is 9th in the league, so it's going to be – and their passing defense is the NFL worst. So Jalen's going to have to be on point here, but I'm going to take Jacksonville on the points.
I got to be honest with you. I think Doug Peterson looks up in that press box and says, Howie, one more time, you know what? I'm going to get another win in this house.
I agree with
you. So I think he's going to stick it to him. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars will be up more for this game than they have all season.
Very interesting. Spence.
Very interesting. I also thought the line would be 9.5, you know, considering the disparity. But I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to probably roll with public money, and I'm going to take the Eagles to roll in this game.
Colin.
Eagles win, Eagles cover.
Charlie, the anchor man, what do you see in this game? You've got a good minute to break it down. Go ahead.
Teams that dominate weeks in a row like this, coming home, playing a team non-division, rarely cover, and I mean rarely. And I'm going to go Jacksonville. I think it's an easy pick.
So that's interesting. So Charlie knows the trends, and This hour sure flew by. I want to thank our sponsor, Philadelphia PRP and Stem Cell Institute. I want to thank all the contributors to Rover Sports, our producers, and most importantly, our fans. And as always, good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.